It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn.
In the barn.
Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Beam.
All right, and a good Thursday morning. Welcome into the Bet America Radio Network. You're with me here in the barn. I'm Jason Beam, your host here on the Bet America Radio Network. And a good show for you planned today. We're going to be joined by Jeremy Balin from the Blood Horse, talk about the upcoming Saturday here at Santa Anita and more other Santa Anita news. And a couple of really exciting races, including the Arcadia Handicap or Stakes, which I'm personally really excited for. I love the mile turf races, and it seems like in Southern California they're always pretty interesting, and so real excited to talk with him about that a little bit. Coming up later, we got tomorrow. We're probably going to have two guests, so we're going to talk El Camino Real Derby and Tampa. But just a really big weekend of racing going on around the United States. You got a couple of stakes at Aqueduct, the El Camino Real Derby, the Grade 2 Royal Delta Stakes from Gulfstream Park coming up Saturday. Sam Houston's got three stakes on their card. The Barbara Fritchie, a Grade 2 at Laurel, the 7-furlong sprint, and then usually the General George is the counterpart to that one coming up on Monday. Again, don't forget, we got holiday racing on Monday for the President's Day holiday. Oakland Park, the Essex Handicaps coming up. That again, Santa Anita, I talked about the Arcadia Stakes as well as the Santa Maria Stakes for the older fillies. And then Tampa Bay Downs is four stakes events on the card, including the Sam F. Davis, which is actually a pretty tough little race for this year. Todd Pletcher always sends over a horse or two for this race, and he sent a couple in here. Both of them who were just maiden breakers, but you know, I feel like this is kind of one of those races where he wants him and Mark Cassie's kind of doing a similar thing too, where he's got, you know, a horse that's won a maiden, won an allowance, won a small stake that was restricted to OBS horses, and now, you know, we're going to really start testing the waters. The Sam Davis really is a water testing for a lot of horses. It's a lot of horses who were impressive maiden breakers and now are going to try some stakes company. But the horse Pletcher's sending out, Gettysburg, Javier Castellano is going to go down to ride, and this horse coming off a really, really nice maiden win at a mile and an eighth at Gulfstream Park. So he's, to already have gotten that distance and to be drawing off late. He won by 4.5 late in that race. Really, really impressive. And, you know, certainly John Velasquez is going to ride Destin in that race. A horse that broke the maiden nicely, first time out, finished second in optional claimer, then was fourth in the LeComp, which, I don't know that was the best effort, but it was, his first try against stakes company. And, I think that if anything of the two Pletchers, Gettysburg, the one that intrigues me the most, the Windstar Farm ownership connection. Mark Cassie's going to send out a really nice horse that's won three straight races for him. What a Wonderful World. Jose Lascano going to go over to ride. And, you definitely, at Tampa for these big races, there's always going to be a strong Gulfstream influence of connections, and I think we're going to see that here as well. Rafting, Graham Motion sending out another horse, and Graham, having a little bit of a lull here as of late, but I think Rafting could be a little bit of an interesting horse. He won the Smooth Air Stakes at Gulfstream Park West, a.k.a. Calder, last time out really, really nicely, but that was as a two-year-old, so this is his first start as a three-year-old. Edgar Prado is going to come in to ride. I always like horses coming off the Calder surface because it's a little deeper and tired and tiring, and so they tend to usually pick up their feet pretty well when they go to other tracks. Morning Fire is a horse for Keith Nations. Now, Keith Nations is an old Northwest guy that's kind of landed on the East Coast and been doing very, very well over at Parks and Penn National and places like that. He's sitting at 12% right now at Tampa, but for a lot of years he was a assistant trainer, a jockey's agent up in Seattle and Portland, and it was pretty interesting to see his name start popping up with some nice horses, and he's got this one from Mercedes Stable that just won the Pasco Stakes here at Tampa, which is the precursor to the Sam Davis. And he did that in wire-to-wire fashion, but he's going to have some company up front this time because there's a few horses with pretty solid speed, including Gettysburg. And then the horse right to his outside, Awesome Slate, has some pretty good early gas. And the horse Rafting right to his inside with some speed. So it really could set up as a race for somebody to come from just off the pace. But an interesting little addition of the Sam Davis Stakes coming up. And of course, one of the races that is very, very big coming up Saturday at Tampa is the Endeavor Stakes, because we're going to see the return of the much lauded and deservedly so Teppan, who makes her comeback in the Endeavor Stakes, which is coming up as part of that big card at Tampa Bay Downs. And Tepin's going to be a really big favorite in this race, and deservedly so. I mean, she's just coming off a monster year. It saw her make over $2 million and win the Breeders' Cup Mile. Also crushed him in the First Lady. I mean, you just don't see horses winning mile turf races, grade ones, like she did in the First Lady, winning by seven. That's just completely out of hand and craziness. But Lexi Liu shows up in this race, the old Queen's Plate winner, who's had some mild success since then. Finished second in the Grade 1 Hollywood Derby, won the Grade 3 American Miss, and last time out was third here at Tampa in an optional claiming event, and lost to a runner named Bureau de Change, who's actually in this race as well. But this race is certainly Tepin's to win or lose. And we're actually going to be joined by the analyst from Tampa Bay tomorrow, Shades. You know Shades in the paddock with his sunglasses and bright sport coats. He's going to join us tomorrow to talk about the races from Tampa and what a big card they have. And when I was talking to Peter Aiello yesterday on the show, I talked to Peter afterwards for a little bit, and I said I really want to get Richard Grunder on the show, the announcer from there. He's been there forever. He's a total character. He's a lifelong race tracker, and he's also the former announcer at Portland Meadows. Richard was there way back in the 80s, which is where I worked for a lot of years. And so I thought it'd be cool to pick his brain about the old times at Portland Meadows. But so many big races coming up this weekend. We're trying to get Michael Rona to join us as well for tomorrow to talk about the El Camino Real, which came up huge. 14 horses in the El Camino Real Derby this year. It's kind of and it's cool that trainers like Graham Motion make a point to send a horse or two out to the El Camino Real Derby each year now. And I think it's real important for Golden Gate to have a signature race like this that can produce some horses that could go on and at least make a little bit of noise on the Triple Crown Trail. Daddy Knows Best a couple of years ago, I think he was he was well bet in the Kentucky Derby. And I don't know. I just think it's cool. As a West Coast guy, I've always been a fan of Northern California racing, so I'm excited that the El Camino got such a big draw. And like I said, if hopefully Michael can join us tomorrow and give us a little more analysis on that race. And of course, he's obviously in the big running for the Santa Anita job, and so we'd love to talk to him about some of the goings on there. But one of the other things coming up is Valentine's Day. And I'm still looking for my racing Valentine this year, but I wanted to share a story about what not to do on Valentine's Day, because I learned this one the hard way a few years ago. This is going back like 10 years or so, maybe more. But I had been seeing this girl for a couple of weeks, and she's like, "Oh, we should go out for Valentine's Day." I said, "Okay, great." And it was on a Saturday, and there was a big day of racing. And so I told her, I said, "Let's go. I said, "I want to go to the track during the day, and we'll go out to dinner." She's like, "Oh, okay, I'll come to the track too." And I was like, "Oh, okay, great." And it was just simulcast, because Emerald doesn't run till the springtime. And so she comes out to the OTB area, and actually they have a really nice turf club up there on the fifth floor. And so she comes out there, and we're sitting there, and I just we had lunch and I'm betting the races, and I'm not doing very good. And so I'm kind of chippy and short with her. And, she's wanting to be sweet and all this stuff. And I'm just getting buried. I mean, I can't hit anything. And so time goes by, and I'm losing more. And she's kind of starts like, "Well, when are we going to leave to go out for dinner?" And I said, "Well, in a little bit." And she said, "Okay." And so she makes a comment. She goes, "How much are you betting?" And I told her, I was like, just a couple bucks every race. And in reality, I'm, throwing down 10, 15, 20, 30 every race. And so she kind of starts catching on to the fact that her new boyfriend's a total degenerate. And she kind of says something to that effect. She's like, "I want to get out of here. I don't like this." And she's like, "You're kind of in a bad mood." I was like, no. So I told her, I said, "Look, I'm live in a pick four, and we can't leave till it's over." And I told her that you can't cash tickets the next day or even the next year. And so she was like, "Oh, okay, fine." And so I said, "If this bet loses and I get knocked out, then we can go." And so the bet loses, but I told her that it didn't, and I'm lying to her. And I'm telling her, I have to use the bathroom, and I'm running up and making a bet on my way in and out of the bathroom so she doesn't see it. And needless to say, the magic was, it just never got rekindled after that. I think we stopped dating shortly after that, but that was one of my worst Valentine's Day efforts. was literally alienating a poor girl who wanted to come spend time with me so I could sit and fire away at, you know, Delta Downs and Sam Houston and their pick threes at 5-6 o'clock at night on the West Coast time. So, you know, what can you do? If you ever, if you want to read my book, Southbound, there's a lot of stories that are in that vein. And unfortunately, a lot of them are true, but, you know, horse players all seem to get a kick out of those kind of stories. And so I hope that your Valentine's Day is much, much better than that. But we're going to head out to our timeout. When we come back, Jeremy Balin from the Blood Horse is going to join us here on the other side of this break. It's The Barn, the Bet America Radio Network.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland-Cruz and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, back here on the Bet America Radio Network, you're in the barn, and we are pleased to go down to beautiful Southern California and welcome in the West Coast staff writer and assistant editor for The Blood Horse, a California-based writer, Jeremy Balin, joining us on the phone. Jeremy, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
We're doing good. You guys are having like an early summer down there. I looked at the weather forecast. It's like 90 already in February.
Yeah, it was supposed to be today. I live in Long Beach, so it's not as bad as some of the valleys in the north, like where Santa Anita is located, where it's pushing 90 today, which is like record temperatures, which is ridiculous. But El Nino is still coming. They keep reassuring me. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the rain kind of impacts everything.
Yeah, it's definitely a different track and atmosphere at Santa Anita when it rains. I was there a couple of Sundays ago, and it poured all day. And it kind of just doesn't feel like Santa Anita when the rain's there.
It changes the way the track plays, I think, especially when the rain is ongoing and it didn't just kind of happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And that turf course, I think it's still listed as good, or it's been good for a little while. It's brand new. I'm not sure it's entirely taken root completely yet. Some riders were complaining about kickback earlier in the meet. So they're really trying to keep that thing in good condition as well.
Another big race weekend coming up at the Great Race Place, a pair of grade twos Saturday, and then, of course, the San Vicente on Monday, which is going to see Nyquist make his return. What have you seen and heard about him coming into this race?
I mean, I've seen him work the last month or so each time, and this last time they worked him, they really wanted to get some speed into him, and it was a pretty successful work in that respect. He did 5 furlongs, and O'Neill had him at 58 and change, but I think it ended up officially being 59 and change a little bit. But they had previously kind of done these 2-turn workouts, which they like to do because he kind of takes a break sometimes going into that first turn of a 2-turn race instead of kind of realizing where he's at on the track. So because this race is a 7-furlong race, they really wanted to get him out of that habit, which is the foundation, and they really wanted to inject some speed into him. So I think he's going to be quite ready to take on 1 turn in that race.
Jeremy Balin joining us from Blood Horse. You can find his work at bloodhorse.com. And so is the plan for him just to go to the San Vicente, to the Santa Anita Derby, to the Kentucky Derby? Is that kind of their just track?
No, he's going to be going to the Florida Derby.
Oh, okay.
There's a big bonus out of the Fisher Tipton sales. I think it's the March sale. So any horse that came out of this particular sale in Florida gets $1 million bonus if they win the Florida Derby.
Oh, well,
I think he comes out of that sale, and I think More Spirit comes out of that sale as well. So that really, really could open up an opportunity for some other horses, maybe like a Smoky Image, or I can't think of the other Cliff Slice horse who just won an allowance, who looks really good coming out into that series. So, you know, that might be an opportunity for some kind of under-the-radar horses from Southern California. But that that's if Moore Spirit goes. I know Nyquist is going. I'm not so sure about Moore Spirit.
Well, you know, and you mentioned Moore Spirit, and, you know, I know Baffert had talked about sending Collected over to Arkansas. And does he have anything else kind of brewing? It seems like it's almost a little bit of a quiet, early three-year-old season for him, for Baffert.
Taves on ice, I think that the classic distances might be a little long for him. He kind of went out to Arkansas for that Smarty Jones Stakes earlier this month, or actually last month, but he just didn't run so well. So I think they're going to keep him at shorter. There is a horse that came into his barn recently from Fairgrounds, and I'm kind of frantically searching on my computer to come up with his name because I can't think of it. He won a Fairgrounds maiden race by about 10 lengths. There's a lot of buzz about him. Let me see if I can find him. I can't find him.
It's all right.
Here we go. I think I've got it. Yes, it is. No, I can't find it. But yeah, he's gonna have a presence just like he always does. You know, that is his program, and he doesn't shy away from that. So, expect him to have Triple Crown contenders just like he always does.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like I think coming off of American Pharoah, there's probably this massive expectation for him to repeat that. But, certainly it's not something that's going to be easy to do. Is the horse you were talking about, the Cliffside one, Danzig Candy?
Danzig Candy, yes. And the horse that Baffert just got is named Malibu Sunset.
Okay, there we go, yeah. And that's one of the things with this three-year-old right now is, you know, there's so much movement going around with them, going from different tracks and everything. It's a little bit overwhelming just to keep track of them during these early preps.
Yeah, and there's some horses that I still really want to see. Like, I was a big fan of Aero Force. You know, he beat Moore Spirit, and I think who's that? Mo Tom in that race in Kentucky, the Kentucky Jockey Club. It was over on the off track, so he still has a little bit to prove. But I think he got sick. He was scheduled to go the Tampa route, but now he's going the Fairgrounds Derby prep route. So that's a horse that I kind of need to see a little bit more of. But yeah, they're all over the place. So and it's kind of interesting to look back at last year and see, you know, where we were. Looking at the horses, you know, Dortmund had just won the Robert Lewis Beating Firing Line for like the second or third time in a row. Mm-hmm. And we just didn't quite have a sense of American Pharoah yet because he was coming back from that injury, you know. So I wouldn't be, or even California Chrome. I mean, he wasn't Chrome quite yet.
No, he was just out of the King's Glorious and those kind of races.
And the Cal Cup Derby, which Smokey Image just won. So, there's so much that can change. Go ahead.
Real quick about Smoky Image, you mentioned I was at NHC when he ran that big race, and the tone there from a few people I talked to was just kind of like, well, you know, he's a cool horse, but you know that was Cowbreds, and he's, you know, the distance and all that kind of other stuff. Is he getting a lot of buzz as a Triple Crown chasing kind of horse?
Absolutely, he's going to be running in the same. The next Triple Crown, or the next Kentucky Derby prep race here at Santa Anita. And we're going to find out, you know, there is something to be said about being an undefeated horse, you know, despite his competition, you know, no one's beaten him. And he really showed something in the stakes right before the Cal Cup Derby. I think it was a 7-furlong, Cowbred Stakes. He ran into so much trouble in that race, and he just got to the wire first. So if you go back and you watch a replay like that, and you go, you know, regardless of the figures, regardless of everything that kind of goes into it, and you go, there might be something here because this horse encountered just about all the trouble you could in a race, in a one-turn race, and he still got to the wire first. So those are the types of things that I think are encouraging about him. And whole story of the Cowbred and the undefeated, you know, that as a reporter, those are all things to kind of look to.
I will say something about California racing that's just maddening to me is that so many of the stakes are named San or Santa, And it's really hard to keep track of which one is in which division and which, you know, does that drive you guys nuts, or do you guys just know them all by now?
I know it, and now that I think about it, it's the next Derby Prep race here is the San Felipe.
There we go.
That's the one. Yeah, there's San Antonio, San Marcos. I think there's a million of them. Santa Maria this weekend.
Yeah.
So, it's not easy, but after a while, you kind of start getting into the swing of all of it.
One race I definitely know is the Arcadia, which is coming up on Saturday for Turf Milers. And I was reading your story that just came out about this, and it is kind of a cool race. You see Ohm, who was, you know, it's obviously kind of been the stone cold speed miler for the last few years, and now, you know, you get Ohm and a few of these other horses, you know, coming up to take his crown. I just thought it was a race that has a few really cool storylines.
There is a ton of really good storylines, and when the entries first came out, I really got excited about it. The problem is Prospect Park probably is not going to go. Cliff Sice told me today that they're looking at an allowance race on Sunday that I think it's on the dirt that probably suits him a little better for a comeback. I mean, you're talking about a 5-month layoff, and you're going against a hard-hitting horse like obviously an Ohm who's beaten Prospect Park in the past, even though Prospect Park beat him as well. So, and he has kind of that dirt side that they don't mind running him on dirt. But yeah, it's still going to be a really, really good race, considering it's a pretty short field. You know, obviously, it's just a horse that I love. He just goes out to the lead every single time, and you got to catch him. Mm-hmm. So on maturity and with these four-year-olds kind of early in the year, you know, Ohm and the other one in here, Bolo, who also ran in the Kentucky Derby, you know, they're just turned four-year-olds. They've never seen anything like a mature, obviously, who's a grade one winner and runs in the Breeders' Cup. And so Ohm has tracked the speed before, but it was cheaper speed. It wasn't a grade one winner on the front. So all of those things going into that race, you know, have an impact. You know, it's not easy to carry form over like that against competition that's probably a little bit better than they've faced. So we'll see.
Yeah, one thing I think is real interesting is Joe Talamo not riding, obviously, this time. They've made a switch to Mike Smith, and Joe's signed on to ride Big Casanova, who will probably be quite a bit bigger price than obviously in here. Do you know why the switch was made?
I suspect Big Casanova might be heading into a weekend allowance as well. It'll be interesting to see when the entries come out for Sunday. Mm-hmm. But as far as jockey changes and switches, I always like to wonder about it.
Yeah.
But as far as whose decision it was, whether it's a trainer and stuff like that, but that's not information people especially like to share.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go wrong with switching to a Hall of Famer.
No. And it's a red hot barn too, the Phil D'Amato barn.
Absolutely. He is training really well, especially with grass horses. Seems like, I mean, that's anecdotal a little bit, but he's just winning at all different levels and really performing well.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can think of is, you know, you see the 2.5 lengths in front and then getting beat by a whisker. Maybe they somehow thought it was his fault, or, you know, it could be a whole different thing. I mean, like you said, there's often reasons behind the scenes that we never know when it comes to jockey switches. Jeremy Balin joining us from the Blood Horse. And, you know, you mentioned Bolo, and Flavian Pratt's a guy I had on the show a couple of weeks ago. And it seems like with him and Gonzalez and Maldonado, there's kind of a changing of the guard a little bit going on in the rider standings right now.
I mean, Rafael Barrerano is still forwardly placed, as you would say, but Santiago Gonzalez and Flavian Pratt are really, really, really good riders out here. And you're still kind of able to get them a little value, I think, from a betting standpoint, which is good. You know, Flavian Pratt is getting started off getting a lot of horses from Mandela, but now he's getting horses from everybody. And he wrote up a winner, stakes winner for, he got Opportunity Home for Baffert. I mean, the horse that hasn't been able to win in a year, he got him home on the outside, for that form. So that might lead him to some better opportunities. But, Yeah, Santiago Gonzalez is in the same boat. He's actually an older guy. I think he's in his early 30s, coming from South America. But you can't go wrong with either of those two guys, and they're starting to get the attention of some of the higher profile trainers out here for sure.
Jeremy Bailyn joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. And real quick, the Santa Maria. This was a race, I think, with a little less storylines, at least at first glance. You see Yahilwa, who's kind of been one of the regulars on this circuit. But the Distaff division right now, it feels like it's just not quite what it was, obviously, when, you know, the Zenyattas and those kind of horses were running around down there.
Yeah, Hilda's not in this race. That's kind of, the only thing. As far as superstars out here, that, I mean, she's on her way back, but it's going to be quite a little while now. But, Bird at the Wire ran against Taurus last time, who we didn't know if she could handle two turns, and she did very, very well. But that Bird at the Wire is a grade one winner at seven furlongs in one turn. She's a grade two winner at a mile and a 16th at Gulfstream, so maybe she does have that similar closing kick going longer. But and the horse that's interesting in there is Terrace Tango, who's kind of been knocking at the door consistently. She was a nose behind Stellar Wind earlier last year, and I think was a neck back in her last race.
Yep. Santa Monica.
Does that sound right?
Santa Monica, not Santa Maria. Yeah, I told you, it's crazy. It's totally crazy.
Yeah. So she might be knocking at the door. I'm just not sure you're going to get a great price on her because I think her speed figures kind of jump off the page compared to the others in there. But, I wasn't all that excited about that race. But, that we'll see if somebody can kind of emerge from that or whether Bird at the Wire is just the class of that field.
Jeremy Bailyn joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. And one guy I wanted to ask you about before we let you leave is David Jacobson. He moved a string out to SoCal, and it's kind of been slow going. What's kind of been the impression by, fans and everybody out there of Jacobson moving west?
Yeah, he's had a rough go. I mean, the two losses with Saludos Amigos were just heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. I think it was the last one was just, it's just nuts. He was sitting in the winner's circle, and Rafael Barrana, who came up and talked to him after the race, he goes, "I don't know, I tried." He tried. So, I'm a big fan of Saludos Amigos. I think he's a good horse. It just seems like barns, when they go cold all at once. Yeah. So, I don't know. As opposed to the horses he kept in New York, as opposed to the horses he sent out here. I don't know enough about kind of the inner workings of his barn to make a judgment on what he might be doing right or wrong or any of that. But yeah, it's just been a tough run. There's been some tough losses in there, especially those ones in the Graded Stakes with Saludos Amigos. So, but he's certainly proven that he can win back east. So maybe you can see him turning around pretty soon.
All right. Well, it's a big Saturday, a big weekend of racing in general, of course, as pretty much almost every weekend is down at the Great Race Place. And again, Jeremy Bailyn, you can find his work at Blood Horse and bloodhorse.com. And we appreciate your time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Jeremy Bailyn joining us here on the barn. We'll be right back after this short timeout.
Hello, this is Kayla Strah, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive a 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the BetAmerica way.
All right, so my thanks to Jeremy Bailyn for joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. We were actually supposed to also be joined, in addition to Jeremy, by Patrick Valenzuela today, but P-Val was unable to get in contact with us, so hopefully we'll get him on very soon. Very excited to talk to Patrick Valenzuela. But like I said, planning talk with Shades from Tampa Bay tomorrow, as well as Michael Rona is supposed to be joining us as well for tomorrow's show. Lafitte Pinkai III coming up pretty soon, and many, many others. Kayla Straw is another one that's coming up pretty soon, so lots of great guests coming up here on the Bet America Radio Network. Don't forget, you can always email the show, barn@betamerica.com, or find me on Twitter, at Beamy Awards, BEEMIEAWARDS on Twitter, and find us, Bet America on Facebook, as well as at Bet America for Twitter. We have some great promotions coming up in the coming weeks that you definitely want to check out at betamerica.com, including, this morning, obviously, Dubai racing going on. Don't forget, we have a live blog going when Dubai is running, free pass performances and tip sheets, all available, usually on Wednesday morning. The races are Thursday for Dubai, and usually all that stuff's available to you on Wednesday morning at betamerica.com. And then also check out this new thing we got going on this weekend. It's a Road to the Kentucky Derby promotion. Starts this weekend with the El Camino Real Derby and the Southwest Stakes, which is on Monday at Oaklawn. But if you bet on the winner of those preps, you're going to get a free win bet on those horses in the Kentucky Derby if they make the starting gate. Just go to betamerica.com/extra, click on the promotions, and look for the Kentucky Derby 2016 free bet promotion that's going on. And so a lot of cool stuff, though, to be sure to check out. If you haven't signed up for Bet America yet, you get $300 sign-up bonus, that matching up to $300 for your initial deposit. And just a lot of really cool promotions going on each day. I mean, every day, check out our Twitter, because they're always tweeting out brand new promotions. So a big weekend ahead of us. Again, we're going to have a Friday morning show tomorrow, and we'll be joined by Michael Rona, as well as Shades, the handicapper from Tampa Bay Downs. Sorry, my voice is getting a little bit weak tonight. But we will leave you with that, and I hope everybody has a great Thursday. Pick some winners. We'll talk to you next time on The Barn.